move into the second leg of our series this weekend, He Did It For Me. Matthew chapter 27 is the passage we used last night, and we're going to go back to that passage. Matthew chapter 27, this time we're going to go to verse 38 through 44. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 38 through 44. And then our preaching passage will come from Luke chapter 23 and verse 40 to 43. Matthew 27, 38 through 44. When you have it, if you can physically stand, I'm going to ask you to please stand on your feet as we honor God in the reading of His Word. Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 38. When you have it, let me hear you say amen. Let us look at it together. Then there were two thieves crucified with Him. Now, I want you to read with me. I'm reciting because I have some vision problem. But since you can see, I want you to join me as we read and recite together. Is that all right? Matthew 27, beginning with verse 38. Then there were two thieves crucified with Him, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. And those that passed by reviled Him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou who destroyest the temple and buildest it back in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. And the so with the scribes and the elders continued, saying, He saved others, but Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him come down from the and He trusted in God. Let Him deliver Him now, if He have Him, for He said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with Him, cast it in His teeth. Listen. The thieves, I want you to keep that in mind, also, which were crucified with Him, cast the same in His teeth. Let's go now to Luke chapter 23 and verse number 40 through 43. Luke chapter 23, verses 40 through 43. When you have it, let me hear you say amen. Let's read as I recite together. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, but this man, Jesus, has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need a resurrection reservation. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. A resurrection reservation. Beloved, of the seven memorial interactions and universal transactions that Jesus engaged on the cross of Calvary before his death for the saving of sinful man and woman. This engagement is the most problematic to modern Christianity. The New Testament record records for posterity seven last words, last interactions and transactions that Jesus engaged on the cross before he bowed his head and died. And of these seven, this one has caused Elder Landry more problem for the modern Christian community. Verily, I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The problem does not come, my brothers and sisters, because of what Jesus said. But the problem arises because of how modern Christians have interpreted what Jesus said. This is the second transaction, an interaction of Jesus the Christ on the cross with fallen humanity. And in this second transaction, there are five scenes that we must pay careful attention to if we are going to appreciate the relevance of Jesus' interaction with these thieves. Matthew and Luke record that Jesus is hanging on the cross between two brigands, two rogues, two convicts. And the first thing that Matthew and Luke shares with us is the revelation of Jesus Christ to these thieves. I want to pause here and say, I'm so glad that no matter what you've done, no matter where you are, and no matter what situation you find yourself in, the Jesus that I know will find time to reveal himself to you. I can't get no help up in here. Brothers and sisters, you and I will never be able to come back to God on our own volition. We can only do that by responding to the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God revealed himself to us. And here we see in this scene, in this second transaction, two people that you and I would have written off. Two people that didn't go to church, that didn't get baptized, that didn't study their Bibles, and if they did, rejected it. Now on their dying occasion, Jesus finds a way and a purpose in revealing himself to them. How did he do that, preacher? He hung out with them. I wish somebody would hear me. I'm so glad that there are places that I shouldn't be and shouldn't go and things that I shouldn't do, but the God of heaven and earth loves me so much that even when I'm in places that I shouldn't be doing, things that I shouldn't be doing, God doesn't leave me by myself. He shows up and hangs out with me. Is there two people in here who can testify I made it out of that club because God was hanging out with me? I made it in that room, in that hotel out. I made it out because God was hanging out with me. When I was growing up as a young man, I was told, Elder Prochet, that there are certain places that you go that the angels will not come and God will not show up. But when I got to know the God that I know, I found out that that is a lie. He doesn't want me to go there. He doesn't want me to be there. But when he finds me there, he shows up. That's why I'm still here. Is there two people in here who can testify he showed up in my mess? Somebody say, yes, he did. Jesus showed up on that cross. The thieves did not know that Jesus was going to show up. Matter of fact, they didn't expect him to show up. There was another criminal called Barabbas that should have been on that cross with them. But Jesus took his place as he's taking my place and your place. And he showed up and revealed himself to these thieves. Now here's where I need to caution you. Because Jesus shows up doesn't necessarily mean that you will be changed. Because the change has to come from the choice you make to recognize the presence of Jesus. Oh, bless his name, bless his name. So the second thing that we see in this scene is the recognition of the revelation. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to recognize the revelation. How do we see this? Matthew says, in 27 and verse number 48, that both thieves were cussing at Jesus. Matthew said, just like the scribes and the elders and the priests and those who passed by wagged their head at Jesus and taunted Jesus and insulted Jesus, Matthew said, these two thieves also we're doing the same thing. But somehow, one of them, after watching Jesus tortured, back lacerated, bruised and bleeding, hanging on that cross in a gruesome pain, why these thieves were cussing and saying all kinds of vile language just so the Roman soldiers would pierce them with the sword and take them out of their misery. This thief on the right, Elder Prochet, looks at Jesus hanging on that cross in celestial calm and divine dignity. Why they were cussing Jesus was blessing. Why they were cussing Jesus was praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why they were cussing Jesus was curing the sins of the world. And this thief on the right, Elder Landry, looked at Jesus after all these hours and he said, no real human being in their right mind with the emotion, the raw emotion of mankind will hang on this cross, will have gone through all they've gone through and still be blessing and still be curing and still be praying and still be interceding. We have God in our midst here. This is not a normal man. Is there two people in here who can testify that God showed up in your midst and things were going somewhere you didn't expect it to go, but then all of a sudden it turned and you had to say, over my head, I hear music in the air. There is a God somewhere. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's hanging out here with us. The revelation of Jesus Christ gave this thief the privilege to recognize divinity in the midst of humanity, and that recognition moved him to righteous indignation. See, when I was a little younger, there were times when people recognized divinity, even the drunks. When they pass by the church, they put their bottles in a brown bag, close the lid until they went at least half a block. I wish somebody was listening to me, because they recognize, yeah, I got a drinking problem. I got a drug problem. I got a lying and a cheating and a stealing problem. But this here is the house of God, and the presence of the Lord is here. So I gotta shut down till I go past here. And this is what this thief on the right was trying to say to the thief on the left, because after Jesus revealed himself, the thief on the left refused to recognize who Jesus was and his presence. But the recognition of this thief on the right made him to have some righteous indignation. He turned to his partner and said, don't you fear God? Every now and again, those of us who have met Jesus, those of us who know who Jesus is and knows that Jesus stands with us and walks with us, when we hang around those people that we used to hang around before we saw the revelation of Jesus and still see them doing the same crazy thing, we can't laugh at it. We shouldn't just turn a blind eye. We need to turn to them like this thief said with some righteous indignation and say, don't you fear God? Okay, wait a minute. Let me come here in your backyard. Those of us in the church, at the board meeting, at the business meeting, when church is over, instead of going home and talk about each other and backbite and eat people up, we should be saying to those who are doing it, don't you fear God? Don't you know that God is in this place? Don't you? I wish somebody will hear me. Is there two people in here who can recognize that no matter where you are, whether you are at school, whether you are at church, whether you are at Walmart, whether you are in your car, wherever you are, God is there. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He tells me that I'm his own. Is there two people in here who can shout, he's always with me? Somebody say yes. This thief recognized the presence of divinity and built up in him was a righteous indignation. Oh, but he wasn't just fussing with the one who refused to recognize Jesus. He then made a request for heavenly remembrance. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to make a request for heavenly remembrance.
Oh, I know most of us want to be with the 24 elders. We want to be in a group with the 144,000. But this thief knew that he wasn't qualified. He knew he hadn't done anything right. And so he didn't even ask Jesus for a room in heaven. All he said was, Lord, I know you are king. And every king has subjects. I'm about to die. I'm not going to be able to get baptized. I'm not going to be able to go out and get Bible study. I'm not going to be able to tell my family that I messed up and that God is real. But God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when you enter into your kingdom, would you please remember me?
And now here comes the problem. Jesus responds to his request with a resurrection reservation. Then the Bible said, ask and you will receive. Knock and the doors will be open. Seek me and you will find me. Well, I'm stupid enough to step by here today and tell somebody, it doesn't matter where you are when you ask. It doesn't matter what you are doing when you ask. All you got to do is recognize that whether you are in your mess or coming out of it, that God is there and you can lift up your hand and raise your voice and say, Father, remember me. Is that too remember me people up in here when it looked like everything was dark and you couldn't say the prayers with those big words and you couldn't say the preacher's prayer, thou who are our everlasting portion, the God of the universe. All you could say was, Father, remember me. And Jesus responds to this foreman, incorrigible brigand, who is now reformed and repentant, and says, verily, I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now here's where the problem comes from. The problem is not from Jesus's words of hope, words that were intended to encourage this dying thief. The problem does not even come from Luke's redaction of what Jesus said. The problem comes from the English language. See, unlike English, the Greek of Jesus' day did not have grammatical punctuations. I wish somebody was listening to me. They didn't have commas, exclamation marks, question marks, colons and semicolons. They just wrote. And the only way you understood and digested what the redaction was writing is by taking into consideration the context of what was being written. So the English Bible puts punctuation in places that the Greeks never had. But let's just say for English identification and sentence structure, we put commas places. I got some teachers in here, Sister Nicole Wolf. I got Sister Edna Francois, a retired teacher, and I got to make sure I got my stuff right. We can read the sentence like this. Verily, I say unto you, comma, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Or we can say, verily I say unto you today, comma, you will be with me in paradise.
Now, I don't want to insult your intelligence by bringing into witness Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he said, if Christ be not raised from the dead, then your faith is in vain. But because Christ is risen, those of us who sleep in Christ will Christ bring back with him. But each man in his order, Christ first, and then those that sleep in him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, brethren, I would not have you ignorant concerning those who sleep in the Lord, for we know that because God raised Christ from the dead, those who sleep in Christ will he bring with him back to heaven. In parenthesis, back to heaven. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with him forever. So what? Comfort one another with these words. And I'm giving you context. I'm giving you context. But let's just say we didn't have 1 Thessalonians. And we didn't have 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we just had common sense. Turn to somebody and say, all you need is common sense. We will not put the comma after verily, verily, I say unto you, comma, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Because common sense context does not validate that. We will put the comma here. Verily, verily, I say unto you today, comma, you shall be with me in paradise. Come on, we God, what are you doing? You confuse me. Well, give me a few minutes. When Jesus died, he didn't go to heaven. The Bible says. I said, the Bible says. I said, the Bible says. They took his body down and carried it into a borrowed grave of Joseph of Arimathea. So that tells me Jesus could not have said to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Because Jesus was not in paradise that day. Hey, let me add a little more to it. When Mary met Jesus on Sunday morning, and Mary was about to hug him because she was so surprised she had seen the lover of her soul, Jesus said, don't touch me, Mary, because I haven't made it yet to my Father. But go and tell my brothers and my sisters that I'm going to the Father, and when I come back, I will meet them in Galilee. So that tells me that the people that said that Jesus told the thief that he will be in paradise with him that day got their context wrong, because Jesus didn't go to paradise that day. So then there's only one other context that's left, and that context is Jesus said to the thief, because I am the resurrection and the life. Because no man take my life, but I lay it down and I pick it up again by myself. I'm giving you a resurrection reservation. I am telling you that you can take this to the bank of the grave. Today, I'm telling you. This minute, I'm telling you. Right now, I'm telling you that when I make it to the kingdom, you're going to be there with me. Don't worry about when that will be. Because when you fall asleep in death, you will not even miss time. It can be 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 50,000 years. You will not miss it. But listen up for the trumpet. Because when the trumpet sounds and the dead wake up, I will make good this reservation. You will be with me in paradise. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I need a resurrection reservation today. Jesus is saying, not tomorrow, not next month, not next year, but today. Jesus has given me a guarantee and given you a guarantee that we will be with him in paradise. My daddy's been dead almost 29 years. My sister died about 2.5 years ago. I've lost some loved ones, grandma and grandpa and cousins. But Jesus said to them that time that one day they will be with him in paradise. Turn to somebody and say, do you have your resurrection reservation? Well, I can tell you that because we are here to partake of this bread and this wine that represents the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, you can make a reservation today. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus is saying to you and to you and to you and to me, verily I say unto you, like I said to that thief on the cross, I say that today you will be with me in paradise when I come to take up my jewels. So I say, I thank God for a resurrection reservation. I just got one question that I want to ask you. Won't he do it? Won't he come back? Won't he take us up? Won't he take us to a place where there will be no more dying, no more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering? Every day will be hallelujah, and Sabbath will have no end. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I need a resurrection reservation. Say yes. Father, we bless you. We thank you for that resurrection reservation. We don't have to be confused because we know the context. I pray for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl and under the sound of my voice that have heard this word, that they will leave here today as we come to your table, being once more reminded as we reflect what you did on Calvary's cross, that we do have a resurrection reservation. In Jesus' name, somebody say hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus.